Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Ted.
Yes, we're on the air and we're live.
There you go.
Welcome.
I don't know what the heck was happening. How are you, man?
That's all right. We had a little technical difficulty and we're live and on the air. And welcome, friends and family. Welcome, friends and family, to Straight Talk with Ted Santos and Blair Nash. I'm Ted Santos and Blair. Say hello
to everyone.
Okay.
Hey, how's everyone doing this afternoon? Or evening, actually.
So, Blair, you know, we've got another thought-provoking conversation, and it's last week was really exciting. We had a ton of callers, both men and women, and this one is going to be really interesting. I think it's not as cut and dry as everyone thinks. You know, I'm asking the question, does a man win or lose when he chooses to be a player, or what are the advantages, what are the disadvantages of being a player? And some guys swear by being a lifelong player, and some guys swear that they're getting a better deal by being married. So what I would love is if we had some guys who considered themselves a player, did get married, and actually if they can talk, that would be great, if they'd be open to sharing what they think the differences are. And maybe a guy who was a player, got married, and got divorced may really be in another ideal person to talk about this. So before I give my perspective, I think I'm going to just wait until the end because I do have a perspective. I've never married. I have no children. So I've lived with two women, and for the record to the audience, it wasn't two women at the same time, just not that good. So I lived with one woman for 5 years and another one for three. And I had also, after losing both my parents, I'm the oldest, I took care of my youngest sister, and I know I didn't raise her from a child, it was a teenager. She was 12 when our parents died, but she actually came to live with me. So I have the understanding of being in a committed relationship and living with someone, and I also have the understanding of being responsible for a minor and going to the parent-teacher conferences and all that. So I have a somewhat unique and interesting perspective on this. And, I'm looking forward to our callers and what they have to say. And I'm sure there are a lot of ladies out there who have a point of view about this. There are probably some ladies who actually prefer and find the player attractive and desirable. Anything you want to say before we start taking calls? And I know we're going to have a guest also.
We're going to have a guest call in here, call into the show here in just a moment, and so we'll have him on the line very, very, very soon. This is kind of one of those topics, like you said, Chad, it's going to be kind of polarizing, because one of the things that has always been somewhat of a kind of a thing in the, I guess, kind of a thing in the black community, which you don't find as much in other communities and whites and, you know, Asians and Hispanics, is the quote-unquote player guy. There have been movies made about it. There have been songs and, I mean, just rap songs and R&B songs and whatever. And I think it's one of those things that are always going to be around. You know, I think there's always going to be that contingent of people who look at, who kind of view men as players, and even guys who are married, guys who say, I don't want to, you know, it's not my thing. I think it's just always right. Kind of a startle letter that a lot of black men kind of hold up, you know, it's kind of held over their heads. So, like I said, it's going to be very interesting. I've talked, you know, being who I am, I've had the privilege of talking to a lot of men over the years, and just kind of getting a feel for, you know, from them and everything of why they're so opposed and so, you know, anti-marriage and everything and anti-relationship. And,
right, right.
it's not, like you said, it's not as clear, and, you know, it's not as cut and dry as you think. There's a lot of other moving parts to it. So, so yeah, I'm actually excited about the program as well.
Well, you know, and you and I can't take 100% credit for putting this topic on the table. I was, you know, we were you and I were talking about how there's a gentleman in my gym. He's in his mid-20s, and he's been living with a woman for almost a year. And, you know, all relationships go through rough patches, and he was in the middle of one. And, you know, what was interesting, he listened to one of our shows when we were talking about whether or not a woman can wait too long to be married, and he felt like that show was irrelevant to him. You know, what did he care about a woman turning 40? You know, he's in his mid-20s. That's like forever away from him. And
right.
So he started talking about some, I said, well, you know, it does, because if a woman squanders too much of her 20s and then she's got to rush and try and find someone in her 30s, and then she feels like the clock is running out. And he started talking about some things in his relationship, and he said, and I don't know if he's going to call in tonight, so I won't say his name or identify him. He wants to be identified. But he started saying that he's going to walk out of this relationship. And he said, I'm going to spend the next few years just, you know, playing around, just enjoying life and being with different women. And I suggested he think about that. I said, you know, that might seem like the best thing to do, except, you know, you're in your mid-20s, man. I said, do you want to get married and have children? He said, for sure. I said, are you thinking about the kind of legacy you want to leave for your children and what you're going to build with your spouse? And he's like, of course. And this guy has a great career. He's physically fit. He's probably one of the stronger guys in the gym. And he could probably easily play, you know, be a player. And one of the things I considered he'd think about is, right now in your 20s, this is going to be critical for you to develop what I'll call relationship skills. If you go out and play around and just as soon as things don't go the way you want, you go to the next woman, and you're going to find that you're seeing a pattern of women, they get emotional or, you know, things get a little rocky, and you're going to have the same response every time. When you finally meet this woman and you want to marry her, you won't know how to make things work. So I said, my suggestion is you make things work. If things work with this woman and you marry her, you win. You can't lose. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, he thought about it, and he did. He said he felt better off making things work. So, and he was also surprised that I gave that advice. I think he thought I was going to go the other way and say, hey man, you know, go run wild. But I always ask that people think about that. And, yeah, and then I'm going to, at some point, people, the caller is going to say I'm contradicting myself, because there's more than one side to being single or married. So, but, yeah, that's sort of the background on this topic.
Let me ask you a question and everything, and this is just kind of, you know, off the cuff. We, you know, you and I have been, you know, I mean, we talk about our single lives and everything. What's that?
I'm still here. I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so I'm sorry. There was kind of a delay. So what do your friends tell you about, I mean, being single? I mean, what are their thoughts about it?
Most of the guys that I know who are single want to be married. So, let's see, single guys, I'd actually have to think hard about single guys that I know who say, I'm trying to think, maybe I know a single guy who, he would probably, you know, even those guys would want to marry again. So I think most of the guys I know are married or would like to be married. There, I know some guys who have said when they were younger that they would never get married, and then they did get married. So I don't know if most of these guys are married. You know, they have children, and they love their family.
Okay. All right, cool. Here's the reason why I ask is this, because here's my theory. And, you know, as I said, I'm kind of privileged to get a chance to talk to a lot of different men across all across the country. And there are men who want to get married, so I don't want to put that out there that, you know, guys don't want to be married. I mean, the numbers don't even suggest that. There are a large contingent of men who actually choose to get married, want to get married, see the benefit of marriage, et cetera. Now, that said, there's also another kind of legion of men, and it's growing, where they strictly just don't see the benefit. They don't see the where, you know, it's like, where do I, you know, what exactly what benefit is it going to be to me to put my, you know, my, not my freedom, but just put at risk, you know, the ability, you know, the freedom of being able to do what I want to, put my money at risk. You know, when you bring up these topics, the first thing that comes to mind is, and I think a lot of women say this, well, he ain't no millionaire. What gold am I trying to dig for this dude? He only making like $60,000 a year. Well, easier said than done, because if you go from $60,000 a year to making only $40,000 or $30,000, you're in a world of trouble now. So the idea that, you know, you have to have some, you know, you have to have gold bars to lose and everything, I think is kind of a misnomer. There are a lot of men who essentially, for whatever the reasons, whether they be selfish reasons, whether they be financial reasons, whether they be reasons of, you know, just, you know, having seen too much out here as far as, you know, the way that marriage falls apart, they just don't want to be married. So, you know, I definitely see both sides. I actually have my gentleman that I wanted to call in and everything.
Oh, perfect.
He is on the line, so if you don't mind, I'm going to bring him in. Is that cool?
They're very cool.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Who we have? Hold on a second. Okay, there we are. Are you on? Are you there, Dre?
You right here, bro. What's good? How you doing?
Nothing much. Everyone, first of all, let me just say thank you so much for being a part of the show. This is Dre the Giant. He is out of Merrillville, Indiana. I'm saying that right, correct? It's Merrillville, Indiana?
Yes, sir. Merrillville. Yep, Merrillville, Indiana.
Hey. How you doing, okay. Dre? What's going on?
I'm good, man. How you feeling?
All right. I'm good. I'm pretty well. I'm a little bit further east in New Jersey from you.
Yeah. I was just in Philly about a month ago. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
So just to give you a little backdrop, Dre is, like I said, he's in Merrillville, Indiana. He's 37 years old. He is a barber, and he actually has his own barber shop. And in addition to that, he kind of does a little bit of what I do, where he puts on forums with different people. So, Dre, just tell him a little bit about, take about 30 seconds to just tell him a little bit about, you know, who you are, what you do, et cetera.
I'm just a licensed barber, product ambassador, stage educator, out of Gary, but my shop is in Merrillville, Indiana. Like you said, 37. I run panel discussion in the surrounding areas right now, and I just did 6 panel discussions to bring it, you know, just to wrap up this year, and we're going to have even more next year, just a different location, different type of feel. And some of the titles was, you know, relationship goals from a man, a woman's point of view, what are your standards, live, laugh, and love, and all those type of things. So, and I work in the barbershop, so you guys can pretty much understand the wide range of conversations that I have been a part of.
Right. Yeah,
I know that. Let me just say real quick, and I'm going to kick it back over to Ted. I do see a number of callers already called in. If you could just hold the line, we're going to ask Dre a few questions, kind of get him, you know, get his feet wet with everything, and then we're going to kick it over to the callers. So for the ones who I see who are already on hold, please just remain on hold, and I promise you, you know my word, I promise you I'm going to get to you. So, Ted, go ahead, and I'm sure you have a few questions you want to throw his way.
Well, just before I even do that, just for everyone listening, and if you want to call in, the number is 323-624-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So Dre, question. How long have you been a barber?
I started my mom's basement at the age of 12, licensed at 21, and now I'm 37. So
you've been a barber for 15. In the commercial, out in the public, for at least 15 years, right?
Yep, about 15 years.
All right, so and I don't know what it was like doing it in your mother's basement, but at 12. But would you say over the past 15 years, 20 years, would you say that the sentiments of men towards marriage has changed or remained the same?
It has changed drastically, simple reason because of standards and, like, morals. You know what I'm saying?
Tell me what you're saying.
From standards, you know, some men and some women don't have high standards for themselves anymore. Because, you know, you can tell from what we watch on TV, from the commercials, from all this other stuff, you know. You got to have so many of this. You got to, you know, I'm single. I can do all this. Anybody trying to trap me? And then sometimes most people have already been married before. So it's going, they drag their feet to even get close to someone because of their mindset, because of what happened previously. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's like the standards of dating now is so minute. It's so, you know, for the majority, like some of the people that want to be married, that's looking for people to fall in love with, you know what I'm saying? They're so overlooked because it's easy to, you know, get someone to sleep with or have a sex partner and just be cool with just that, the bare minimum. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really don't have to do too much nowadays on a wide range to, you know, have a partner. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The standards are low. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I kind of blame ourselves for not holding on to them things that we did see in some of our parents and some of our grandparents. You know what I'm saying? Say, for instance, your granddad did have outside children, but grandma didn't leave. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that was cool, but they kept that family together. You see what I'm saying? You know, we're going to have trials and tribulations, ups and down, but to keep the family together, keep our foundation strong, you know, grandma probably stayed, even though now, a woman's not going to stay through all that, or a man not going to stay through all that. But you can work it out and find out if it's salvageable. You see what I'm saying? Some people believe, you know, social media has clouded the mindset of being faithful from the inbox to the DM. You know what I'm saying? They cloud the, you know, the faithfulness, because you can flirt with somebody and your partner not even know it. But you going home to your partner, but you're thinking about that person that you flirt with on social media.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
So let me
standards
ask you,
and morals are just, yeah.
Let me ask you, so from what you're saying, I heard you say people go home to a partner. So are you saying that by what you're seeing in the barbershop, that most guys don't really want to be a player, they would rather have someone to go home to?
For the most part, men need someone that's stable. Men, because, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a guy that's really doing their own thing, or a guy that's really doing what they need to do.
Right. So are you seeing that most guys do want to be a player, or they would prefer not to? They prefer to have someone to go home to.
Now, what'd you say? Somebody just knocked on. What'd you say, bro? My bad.
I'm asking. I heard you say men need someone stable, but I'm asking, from the sentiment that you see in a barbershop, do you think most men would prefer to have someone to go home to, or would they prefer to just be a player?
I have a lot of, like, desk job clients, corporate America, other entrepreneurs, and our desires is to be married or have that one person that has your back. Like, sometimes or most times in conversations, we say, and I, you know, we say it often, that we need somebody that has just as much, if not more, to lose than we do, because we already got the ball rolling in our, you know, in our profession and in our
right.
careers. You know what I'm saying? So we need someone that, you know, that has just as much or even has the mindset, you know what I'm saying, like it's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Even though it might be temptation, even though it might be something that you might, you know, say it might be tempted in the flesh or whatever the case may be, I got too much to lose in my man and in my lady to even try to even go that far with you, whether male
right.
or female. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
So,
Second. Blair and Dre, one of you, there's a lot of movement in the background, and it's noisy, and
yeah,
it might have distracted.
Yeah, I don't have...
That might have been me. My apologies. I'm staying
right
here now.
Put it on mute, or if okay, because it's pretty noisy. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Gary. Keep going.
So for the most part, you know, like I was saying, I need someone that has just as much to lose as I, if not more, because as I can't take from what I already got going and give to
right.
you. Meaning, you know, I can help you financially. But it's going to be a limit. It's going to be like, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to need that back into the investment that we got going, you know, whether the barbershop, whether the panel discussion, or whether that, you know what I'm saying? And I got another guy that I'm close to, we, you know, we share business idea and we work together. So for the most part, you know what I'm saying, he does, you know, he's a promoter. You know, he has parties and concerts and all that type of stuff. So if he take $1,000 from what he already got to give to his lady, eventually he's going to need that back in some way, whether it's,
right,
you know what I'm saying,
right.
whether if we have flyers, commercials, and all this, you don't might not have to give it back, you know, in money, but you can take that $1,000 without me asking or what I'm saying and promote. You feel what I'm saying? Like, baby, I'm going to take that $1,000 I got from you, and I'm about to flyers this month. I'm going to promote on Facebook. I'm going to ask the videographer to come up to the shop or come up to the event and do some promotion. You feel what I'm saying? So it's
well,
not a loss. I don't have to think
right.
about losing that money or losing that time that I, you know, that I poured into you as well.
Yeah, some people would call that like sweat equity into the relationship. You know, if you
yeah.
start a business and you're looking for someone to invest in your company, they're looking to see how much sweat equity did you put in. So you, like
yeah,
you said,
and,
you may not
even,
look for that woman to give you money. What she needs to do make some kind of effort to support your success.
Yeah, because I'm going to do the same thing willingly. You know what I'm
right,
saying? For
right.
men, we're not talking about NIGGA. We're talking about men. We're talking about men, whether black, white, whatever. We're talking about men that would take a woman, whether she has children or not, and help without her asking. But if you connected with somebody, you're going to know what they need without them asking them, without
okay.
them asking you. You feel what I'm saying?
Hey,
like, say for instance, you date someone with children.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? You date someone with children. You know her son needs some shoes. You know what I'm saying? Y'all together. You know what I'm saying? It's a team.
Right, right, right. Hey,
you know her son and her daughter needs some shoes.
Or right,
some
right.
school supplies or whatever. Just do it. You feel what I'm saying?
Got
so
it.
Everything don't have to be said or voiced. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Dre, let's, 1 second. Let's see, if we have some married guys on the line and see what their perspective is on
right,
the
cool.
difference
okay.
and how is that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll take a call. Let's do the first call. We have area code 419. You are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
419.
That's a Toledo area. Going once, going twice. All right.
They just want to listen. They want to listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are now going to go to what appears to be Atlanta, area code 404. Area code 404. You were live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
nothing much.
Carell.
Hey, what's up, Ted? Mr. Blair, this
hey,
is Carell.
How you feeling, man? Yeah, good to hear from you.
What's going on, Carell?
Hey, had a great time down in Florida with my wife and our mentor, man. He let me play around with his Ferrari. Really nice thing.
Very nice.
Hey,
okay.
Let me from a boy's perspective, being a player probably is that flashy, that fast life, that appealing life. But I don't think anything positive can come out of that when you leave a legacy of hurting women. Okay. Now, it's
right.
one thing. It's one thing, and there's a difference between a player and a pimp. a pimp, all the women know that this guy got a lot of women. He's going to spend his time the way he wants to spend his time. Ain't no feelings involved. I'm going to do what I need to do. You blaze me, I blaze you. But to be a player has that connotation that these other women don't know that you out here just trying to sow your oats. Or you out here and you just trying to, whatever it is, whatever it is you're trying to do, at the end of the day, somebody going to catch feelings or have caught feelings, and that more than likely that woman is going to get hurt. As a married man, I've never been a player. I've always been a one-woman man because I didn't look at women as a pleasure tool. I looked at them as an asset to help me build. And either they were qualified to help me build and move towards my legacy and my vision, or they weren't. So it was simple as, hey, you want to date? Let's date. You don't want to date no more? I don't want to date no more? Okay, fine. And then I move on. So I don't see what the big hoopla about being a player, because all you're going to do is get your car windows busted out. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. And these women these days are shooting you. They're shooting folks. So that's all I got to add to that.
Hey, no, Carell, I have a question. So, there's Blair said something, and, when you look at it, maybe there's some validity to it. So you've been married for a little while, and
right.
I want to ask you, the question is, I have a couple of questions. Do you want to have children? You plan to have children?
Do I want to have children?
Yes, yes.
That's up to my wife.
Okay.
I don't care.
So that's – okay. So you're open to that, right? So I want to know from your point of view, what's the benefit to as a man to be married? And you might say you just answered the question, but I'm still going to ask. What's the benefit of being married as a man?
My wife, my wife spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially completes me. That's the benefit. And we move as a unit. And in the corporate world, I am sized up by my wife.
Of course.
I mean, is she out here? Is she Malia Trump or is she a Michelle Obama? In my private life, with regards to some of my homeboys that I used to hang out with when we were single, they now have something to look up to and aspire to.
Okay.
All right? And with my other homegirls, they can look and say, man, all these dudes ain't out here trying to be players. All these black men ain't out here trying to be the next, grab them by the pussy and run. And so if I didn't have a quality of woman and if I didn't qualify for a quality of woman, I would feel incomplete. I was 25 years old with over 27 rental units, a national sales manager for a Fortune 500 company, and I will fly out on a Monday morning, go all over the country, plus Canada, Mexico, come back on a Thursday, and I come home to a cold-ass bed. That just wasn't the life for me. And then if I went out there in Atlanta and jacked around with the wrong woman, all of that could end. You know what I'm saying? Well, if I jacked around with multiple women, they can call Lil Pookie and them and come over there and off me. So I wanted to – my wife completes me. It's my rib coming back to me. And so that's value she asked my wife.
I think I have one last question. Is your wife, and you probably have already answered this on other calls, does your wife understand how to collaborate with you in your relationship?
Well, one second. Answer yourself. He said, Mr. Blair said, do you know how to cooperate with me?
Absolutely, because I take his lead.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing today?
Great. Oh, this is a pleasure to have you on the phone here. So you understand. So you understand the importance of being able to cooperate with your husband, your partner, your lover. You understand how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's essential to keeping and maintaining peace in my household. But you have to find someone who's qualified, and Carell qualified to be my husband. Therefore, he's qualified to take the seat, and I follow him.
Very nice. And it's not that. So just for our listeners, they need to understand you're not just some woman he met walking down the street. You're well-educated, and you're one of the few for what you do. So tell the people who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm one of three black female orthopedic surgeons in the state of Georgia. 18 years of school, I specialize in handed up extremity surgery with the Surgeons Orthopedics, two offices in Decatur and Snellville. And so,
very nice.
Yeah, I'm well educated, well traveled, and my husband equally so. So we found each other and we were equally yoked. And that's why we have a beautiful house.
Very nice. This is the first time I've spoken to you, so it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Blair or Gray,
yeah.
Did either one of you have a question for?
No. I appreciate him calling in. We have a few other callers on the line, and I'm going to try to get to them. So, you know, thank you very much for calling in, Correll.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Have a great evening.
All right. Okay, we're going to try to take one more call. Then I want to get back to Dre because I have some questions and things that I want to address with him as well. So next caller is from area code 205. 205, you're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Area code 205. Going once.
Just want to listen.
Oh, okay. All right, no problem. All right. All right, now we are going to go to, I'm going to skip around, go to area code 419. We are going to go to area code 419. 419, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Mario out of Toledo, Ohio. What's going on, Brother Blair?
Hey, Mario.
Hey, Mario. How are you, sir?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting conversation, and just like everything in our community has become so complex and complicated that there really is no one single answer or solution for any of it. And even in describing the issues, it's complicated to even describe them because it has so many different variables to it. When you look at our community, you look at the businesses in our community or the lack of black businesses in our community, and you look at relationships and you look at education and you look at finances and so on and so forth, there's a parallel between all of them. And that parallel, from just my point of view, is the fact that we have gotten away from the basics, which the basics in our community was always about family and the strength of the family. And the nucleus of that is the mother and father. I think more as parents got into single parenting and got into education and got into other things, they became scatterbrained about what was really important. And it has left us pretty much where we are today, having these type of conversations, where in previous times we didn't really have to have these conversations because we always knew that it was really about family and community. And the strength of it, and you know.
Let me ask you a question, Mario, and I'll just kind of say I'm in part of a group that I have on social media, and one of the things that we talk about is we always kind of harken back to, you know, when we have these conversations, we always revisit the 60s and the 70s. Oh, that was a great time. You know what? You know, men were this and women were that, and everybody was, you know, and depending upon who you ask, there's different versions of how that went down. I mean, one of the things that I think is very frustrating about these kind of conversations, I mean, we definitely have to have the dialogue, no question. That's why, Ted and I started this show. But one of the things that I say to people is, let's talk solutions. I ask people all the time, let's talk solutions. When you do that, all of a sudden people just scatter, and they're like, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You want to sit here and gripe, but you have absolutely no tangible, legitimate solution. And that's
well,
the frustrating
let me,
thing.
Let me, well, let me interject on that, Blair. Again, it goes back to the parallels between community, family, so on, and the nucleus. And it comes to this value. We have replaced our real value on people with products, material, money, education, et cetera, et cetera. So we only value those things that came from, you know, for lack of a better word in this immediate conversation, that came from our oppressors when they came in with, for example, integration. You know, Martin Luther King realized that that was a burning house, that the integration that they were giving and the fight that he was fighting for were not the same things. He was fighting for parity, for us to be able to control our own businesses, our own schools, our own politics, our own community, raise our own families with our own values in our own community. And what they did was totally distorted and put it out that, okay, and then what happened? All of the best and brightest from the inner cities, from the neighborhoods and whatever, the doctors, the lawyers, the dentists, the professionals, all moved out. And
right.
then came it, you know, then came in the gentrification where they go into the neighborhoods and they tear down the businesses so that you can't, again, you can't rebuild that in your community. And that's part of the nucleus, having control of your own surroundings, you know, so we
right.
don't place value. Look, if we've got 47 million black people in America, 40 million of them are struggling. 40 million of them are living paycheck to paycheck. 40 million are probably financially literate. 40 million of them, you know, so we're not valuing them. So when we go and say, what is the solution to what? The solution to the 7 million that are doing well, or the solution for the 40 million that ain't? So you got to clarify what you're solving. And if you're solving it for the 40 million, then you got to get them where they are, not where you want them to be or not where you're at.
Right.
You say meet them where they are. Don't try.
Exactly. You got to meet them where they are, because that's their needs. Like the brother talked about the sister that may have kids. Okay.
Uh-huh.
If you're trying to talk to that sister like you're talking to a single educated sister that got all these degrees and education and doing all these other things and ain't got no kids, that's two different parallels, two different paradigms. You cannot talk to the one the same way you talk to the other, and the needs are going to be totally different. It's the same
right,
with
right.
the majority of our people. We're talking about solutions, but what are we really solving? We haven't narrowed it down to which side of the table are we serving dinner on. You know, when you go in a restaurant, they're a five-star restaurant, they're taught to put your food in on the left side or on the right side and take it off the left.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Are we serving the food, or are we putting the food on the table, or are we taking the food off the table?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to move on to a few more callers. Ted, did you have any other thoughts or comments you want to say?
No. I mean, he's opening the door for another conversation. Your name is Mario, correct?
Yes, sir.
So, Mario, you mind if I ask you are there two topics off the top of your head you would like to see Blair and I tackle on these calls?
Well, one would be the one that you just asked me about. When he's talking about solutions, what identify what we're going to be solving. Are we solving the 40 million people and giving value back to them who we've devalued? And then we ask them for solutions, and they don't want to give them because they're afraid they're going to be judged by those who are, quote unquote, the upper echelon.
I'm gonna say something real quick, and I want to get Dre back on the line here in a second. I'll be frank with you, Mario and Ted. I don't know if a lot of us out there want solutions. There's a large amount of us that do, but by and large, I don't believe that that's really the case. I believe that we get solace out of talking about the problem, but never really going to the core and the DNA of what's going on. We want to just say, well, yeah, that, you know, men are this and women are that. But then when you, again, like I said, when you say, let's talk how we get out of this situation. You know, all we talk about is nation building and all these other things. Well, where's that started? Has it started? Has it began? Is there something we can go back? Is there some sort of, you know, are there some sort of empirical data that we can see that that's happening? If it's not, we're talking in circles. And I think that's where it gets frustrating for a lot of people.
That's part of the reason I asked Carell about how he and his wife cooperate. See, because if you want to talk about building a community, if you can't have cooperation in your home, then you're kidding yourself thinking that a bunch of people, I don't care if it's 50 or 7 million, if you think they can cooperate as a community and they can't cooperate as two people at home, it's got to start from there.
It just, Let me, Mario, thank you so much for your call, for your time and your call. Keep on listening to the show, and we will definitely take your information into advisement. So greatly appreciate it, brother.
Thanks a lot, Mario.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you, brothers. Keep doing what you're doing.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you much. Appreciate it. Have a good evening. All right. Before we take any more calls, I would like to go back to Dre. Dre, are you still with us?
I'm right here, bro. Listening.
Awesome.
What's up?
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
I want to just kind of you know, go back to what you said. I know, of course, I know you're a barber, and you have the I guess kind of the rare behind the scenes of talking to all kinds of black men, like you said, from, you know, just the guy who's making kind of, you know, barely minimum wage to probably guys who are making six figures. I mean, give us kind of a peek into just, like, what are you just seeing overall? I mean, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but what are you just seeing? You say you see that things are kind of going backwards. I mean, why, in your estimation, why do you see this going backwards? Why do our men not see the value in relationships, in marriage, in building with our women? Why is that?
For the most part, our society have become so selfish. You know what I'm saying? In men and women.
Yeah.
No one wants to invest. Rather, no one wants to invest in anything. Everybody, even right, you know, like everybody want that microwave turnaround. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody want that microwave turnaround. And what I mean by that is it's quick. You know what I'm saying? 6 to 8 months, we in love. Oops, she got pregnant. I just keep it. We never take the time to just invest in each other, meaning conversation, dating, courting, whatever term you want to use. We don't take the time to get to know the person that we're interested in. It's like it's a race to get to the bed, and people don't understand. People don't know, and even if your mindset not here, once you have sex with a person too early, you really stop growing and stop knowing that person. You feel what I'm saying? Because your mindset changes. Even if the sex is good or bad, if the sex is bad, you're gonna give it another shot to see was it really that bad. And if the sex is good, that's
right.
All you're gonna want to do now. You feel what I'm saying? So let's take it off of, you know, out of sex. If right now, like you say, I got clients that, you know, make minimum wage in college. I have the corporate America people that make six figures, and I have people that make $1 million. So with the lower totem pole of men that make, you know, that's not financially stable like what they want to be, they can't take you out to Bob Chin's or Ruth Chris or all of these expensive places. And sometimes women already have a standard and what they will and will not, you know, settle for, whether, you know, his attire, his car, and men do too. You know what I'm saying? But from a man's point of view, not saying, you know, you got to take everything, at least let him show you that he is willing to grow. You feel what I'm saying? At least let him show you that this is a job to help me get to my next destination. And with women also, you know what I'm saying? Women might be in between, you know, she might work in a department store, she might be in college, the same thing. And men do the same thing. Oh, no, I ain't going to take care of nobody. You know, it's not that you take she's right. asking you or he ain't asking you to take care of him like his mother. He asks you to, like, I'm interested in you or her. You know, if you really want to take this journey with me, let's walk it. You know, let's walk it out. Let's put our thing caps on. I got an idea. Let me share my dream. Let me share my thoughts with you. Help me to get to the next level. I help you get to the next level. People selfish. You know what I'm saying? People are selfish. They're not willing to help you. You know what I'm saying? They're not willing to share your posts on Instagram, on Facebook.
Right.
You know,
right.
We live in a society of selfishness.
Hey, Blair and Dre, I want to take a note of what's happening right now and then what, you know, we had the last caller. And if we just look at all of our shows, so one of the things that, Dre, I the intent of this radio show was to get rid of some of the myths that women have about men and one that we seem to be killing is most men really don't want to be a player. The second myth is most men won't talk. They don't communicate. They don't say anything. And every show we've had, men have gotten on this call and just talked. They've been very open. Oh. They've been transparent. Maybe it's not that men don't want to talk. Sometimes maybe women don't want to hear everything that a man has to say, and that's part of the reason this show is called Straight Talk, because we want to have men who can just talk straight. We welcome women calling, but you know, we need women to hear how men really think when we really talk. And we really will, but if you try to shut us down because you don't like what we're saying or you don't understand what we're saying, or you try to manipulate what we say, men really will talk and work things through. And I just need women to take that note that this idea that men don't communicate is false. I don't know who made it in the media.
Yeah, for sure it is.
But it needs to be thrown away because men will talk.
Right.
Well, man,
Dre,
it's two things.
Dre, you have something to say, and I want to get right to you. I just want to say we have several callers on the line, and I'm going to get right to the callers. But, Dre, go ahead and finish your point real quick, and I'm going to get to the next call.
It's only two things. A man has to trust the woman that he's talking to. You can't make a man feel like a child while he's talking to you. You got to give him your undivided attention. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because right away, if we feel like we talking, you making us feel dumb, you're not really paying attention to us, we're going to shut down. And after a week, after a month of that, we're not going to talk to you. That's why we talk to the woman at work. That's why we talk to the woman that we bowl with. That's why we talk to the woman, you know, our friend. Because a couple of times, our wife or our girlfriend, long term or whatever, someone we're interested in, something that we said, and you made it probably sounded off because you don't understand, we shut down. So that's where the myth comes from, because we don't share it with a woman that makes us feel stupid while we're talking. And, like, while we're talking, like, we are very passionate. So if we seem to you as weak, we weak, like, oh, man, he tripping. And then you go tell your girl, let me tell you what this said. Oh, really? So, yes, I shut down.
Yeah.
And that's where my friend come in, the new friend that I'm texting or the old friend that I'm texting and calling. And I'm talking to her because she don't make me feel like a child. She don't make me feel like this son.
She doesn't judge
She don't make me feel like I'm talking stupid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, men do talk.
I tell women.
But you got to be
a. I tell women once it happens, just go ahead and get another boyfriend because he ain't going to never be the same. Once a guy feels emasculated, you might as well just go get another dude because either he's just going to basically look for an out in that relationship, or he's going to do things, and you know what I mean, he's going to do things in the relationship to basically counterbalance the fact that you make him feel like a sucker.
And he's going to sabotage the relationship.
Exactly.
Every conversation, he's going to sabotage that joint. It can be going good in the female mindset, but he's going to be like, man, you know, it's going to be that time. You're going, what's wrong with you, man? Ain't nothing wrong with me. And then because we didn't address that issue 6 months ago last year when we first met, it's going to come up. And then the female is going to be like, oh, why didn't you say? Now it's an argument. Now it'll shut down again because we never addressed the issue of what made me shut down back then.
Right. So that's a point. Right. That's a point to be taken. And Blair, please go to the call. But men, address it. Don't let it just get away and shut down. Address it and talk about
right.
it.
Right. Absolutely.
If someone
I'll
shuts
say one
you down.
Thing. I agree with you 100%. Don't let it fester. And the other thing I'll just add to what you had said earlier, Ted, is that I think what's happening is men haven't had a venue or a platform to basically talk about some of their, you know, some of their feelings, some of their thoughts and everything. When I say feelings,
right.
I don't mean that, you know, men are just sitting on the edge of the bed crying with a tissue in the hand.
Right.
That's not feeling.
Right.
Feelings is, you know, but hey, I feel a certain way. Yeah, go
but
ahead.
We do cry. We cry, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that exactly we don't
and,
cry.
But
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because our significant other or our close love, just because you don't see us, I promise you, we get into the mode, we sit in our cars until we go, before we go in the house. We talk on the phone before we go in the house. You feel what I'm saying? We drive around the block because you're still up to you.
Right.
Because right now I'm guarded. I'm guarded.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you wonder why.
Right.
I've been off. Where you been? I stopped by the bar. Why are we stopping by the bar? Because the bartender or that one young girl up there, and I'm finna tell her everything. Then I come home to you, have sex, go to bed, and then we good.
Right. Yeah, and then the one thing I've talked to men, you know, all over, and they say when I try to tell her that, she just rolls her eyes or smacks her teeth or sucks her teeth or whatever. And it's like, you better listen to that guy. If you don't want to be with him, let somebody else have him. You go do you. You let him do him. But if you really want this relationship, you better act like you know and get your face straight and get your mouth straight. And that's what a lot of our sisters don't get. You know, part of it is our fault. Part of it is black men's fault. But a large majority of it is basic, you know, kind of learning and just simply controlling your face, controlling all those little smart remarks that you want to say. So, like I said, a lot of men have not had the platform to speak about a lot of things that they have on their mind. That's why, you know, that's why we created this show. That's why even on social media you see this backlash of women saying, oh, my goodness, men are just, oh, my goodness. Well, nobody said nothing for 30 years when women were out there saying
exactly.
all sorts of bad things about black men. So it's not a tit for tat. It's now we have options and opportunities to speak about a lot of things that are going on in our community as well. So hold the line for just a minute, Dre. I want to get a couple more calls in. So we have a caller. Hold on a minute. We have a caller from area code 347. Area code 347. You are live and you're live on the air.
New York.
Again.
New York. Hello, 347.
Hello?
347, are you there? No,
yes.
They're there. Oh, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
We're going
to
go to the next
put you on hold. We're going to put you on hold. All right, and go to
the next. We're definitely going to put her on hold. So the next caller is from... We're having technical issues again, Ted, so bear with me.
Okay.
All right. The next caller we have is from area code 718. 718 area code. Bear with me just a moment. So while I'm pulling this person up and everything, let me just ask you this, Dre. We talk about, you know, the things about being a player and all the other kind of moving parts of it. Is getting married something that you actually see in the future for yourself? Is that an ideal thing for you?
I've been married before. The first time I got married, I was 22 years old. So, excuse my language, I got married with my penis out the window. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really know. I was too young. I was extremely immature. I was making money. You know what I'm saying? So my first marriage was like, it only lasted 4 years. So, you know, I do see myself getting married again. That is one of my desires. Simple reason because I want to share some of the things that I'm doing in my life with someone. You know what I'm saying? I want someone to, you know, I travel a lot doing hair, you know what I'm saying? I do want someone to come, you know what I'm saying, to come home to, have children with, you know what I'm saying? I want someone to enjoy the fruits, not only of my labor, but our labor, you know what I'm saying? I travel, you know what I'm saying, like I said, I travel alone. I'll be in a hotel room by myself working on stage. And sometimes you want someone to talk to, you know, experience, you know, have your experience with. Now I do have, you know, female friends, or I'm not a player near that, but I have, you know, friends, female friends and male friends that I, you know, share things with, you know, what are my experiences about, what's new with the company and all this other stuff. But it's something about that one significant lady that you can just, you know, kind of like be naked with. you know what I'm saying, you know, share your thoughts and what happened and how people that follow you on social media, how they act when they finally see you and all that type of stuff. That's a flattering thing. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
Something that, you know, they'll be like, oh, my God, it's Dre. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Sometimes it kind of stiffs you. So I want to, you know what I'm saying, you want to tell somebody, like, how did you feel when this person
right.
really, like, you,
right.
like, you, I don't look at it like, oh, my God, that's Dre the Giant. I look at it like, I'm just Dre from Gary, Indiana. But another person that you inspire online, another person that you inspire through life, through what you do, is, you know, they look at you like, you know, wow, you're doing it. How did you do it? This and that. So in the intimate conversations, I do want to share those things. I want her to share the things that happen at work. You know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, have goals and travel and, you know what I'm saying, all that type of stuff. So my desire is to have someone, you know, that I'm married with, that I'm, you know, compatible with, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff. That, yes. So being a player, I'm going to tell you for real, being a player costs too much. And I'm not a good liar, and my money is tight. I'm an entrepreneur. So being a player is not something I'm interested in. You know what I'm saying? Because, for one, you know, say for instance, I mean, we all did it in our younger times. You know what I'm saying? Now I live by myself. You know what I'm saying? I got more to lose. I got windows at the shop. I got, you know, I got a car. I got a client.
Right.
I got
right.
a reputation to keep. You know what I'm saying? My mama's still alive, so I can't really embarrass her. You know what I'm saying? So being a player is like, I'm not interested. You feel what I'm saying? And that comes with, you know, being transparent. You know what I'm saying? I tell the truth. I would lie. I lie for you before I lie to you. Because I have a lot to lose. You know, with every
right.
other man, you know, they have their own, you know, own things to lose. Like my man
right,
that
right.
came in on the call. Women shouldn't. Like, women shooting and going to jail and, like, hunching their shoulders because you're playing with them emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. I mean, you don't have to shoot me. I'm going to go on about my business. I don't want a key to your crib. You're not getting the key to my home. You know what I'm saying? So being a player is very is a gambling thing. You know what I'm saying? So just
you,
tell the truth.
You're saying it kind of puts you on
it.
Guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Am I hearing you say it kind of puts you on guard?
Yeah, it has to be. You know what I'm saying? Unless you dating in different states, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to be a player in different states, you can't be a player in your own backyard because a woman will pop up on you. I don't care how saved she is, whatever. She can be in church. She can be the minister. She can be the evangelist. She can be the substitute teacher. A woman will pop up on you, fam, at work, at your bar.
Even being in a different state don't save you and everything. Remember the girl that drove 900 miles had a diaper on?
Drove
that
3 days to Vegas.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What's going on?
She had a pack of Depends in the car, fam. A pack of Depends,
yeah.
fam, to go kill this man. That kid.
Right.
I'm not going to play with you, baby.
Well,
I'm not playing with you.
Wow.
I ain't
going to
play with you.
Hey, Blair, can we get that 718 up in on the air with us?
We're going to try. Give me a second, see if it goes. Okay, 718, you are live and on the air. Go right ahead. 718. Going
they
once.
Just want to listen.
Going twice? All right. We're going to let them do their thing. So, okay. So we are actually coming to the end of the show. So, Ted, what are your thoughts? What do you have to add?
You know what? Yeah, let's see if we can get one more call on the air. Let's see if we can get.
Okay. Let's see. I think, hold on. Having technical difficulties again, Ted. 419, you are live and on the air. This might be Mario, though, I think, isn't it? 419, you're live and on the air. Okay, all right. So we're gonna let's just not do the calls and everything because we're
okay.
having technical difficulties. So yeah.
Okay. So you know, this was actually good to hear guys say this. So this was great. And someone actually just sent me a text message. Someone who's listening.
And let's see if I can tell you what he said. He said, safe to say that the men who call into your show want to communicate meaningfully with their partners, but I suspect many women would doubt this sample is representative of all men. And that's a guy who said that. So,
Right.
Sometimes
yeah.
even if you show a woman, she'll still say, well, that's just some exception or ignore it. And, this is why I keep driving at this point about understanding cooperation, because there's a certain behavior that you can have that can create chaos, and there's a certain behavior you can have that will create cooperation. And if you don't understand, if you haven't been educated in that, and I'd say a big part of it is really understanding yourself.
Right.
And I think people don't invest enough money in developing themselves. And Blair, I'm going to say that as an opening. And Dre, I think you do some things. But maybe at some point we need to start doing some sort of workshops where people can actually uncover the best of themselves and go through some transformation and become more of who they – become the person they always wanted to be and didn't know how to. And I think people generally get in their own way. You know, Dre said how a man will sabotage a relationship if the woman invalidates him and made him feel stupid. So, right. So, you know, people don't understand the rules of engagement to build and to cooperate. Dre, in one of our shows, I said a lot of women say I have an education and a job, and I say that's just like a backup plan for when you screw up the marriage that you can live on your own. So it's not I have a job and education because I want to be smart and have a job, and I'm not saying that for all women. I'm saying there are too many women who have that as only a backup plan for when they sabotage the marriage. And if you think about it, the amount of women who are in the workforce, you're going to displace a lot of men, and then you're still holding the same standards for guys who can't find jobs because they're being taken by women. So we've got a lot of complexity in our society. Marriage is good. You know, I'm listening to you, Dre, and I listen to the guy Mario, and what Carell is an example of being married, and I know we had one of my cousins call who, you know, he talks about, you know, how he loves his wife and she supports him. It's great to have someone you can speak to and support. And those, I question, do you have to get married to have all those things? Now, if you want to have children, I get that. And if you really are looking to build a legacy, if you really are building something together, I can understand marriage. But to build something together, you also need to not only build one another, but you have to have some sort of mechanism in your life where you intentionally develop yourself, not just your career. You know, buying a Prada bag doesn't make you a better person. It just doesn't. You might look good, and looking good doesn't mean you know how to cooperate. So I think that I got it. Most guys probably don't want to be players, and there are some concerns about is it really beneficial to marry, and you know, with the court systems, a lot of women have the upper hand, and if it goes to divorce. So while guys may not want to be players and they'd like to be a partner, I think it's going to become imperative that people start developing the kind of relationship skills that I was telling that young man in the gym, that, you know, instead of just running off when things don't work, learn how to talk things through and work things out. That's developing cooperation and relationship skills. Otherwise, it's hard to see why you would marry someone who doesn't understand how to cooperate. There's just no benefit to it. A man is putting too much risk in his own well-being to do that.
I will kind of give my closing thoughts as well, and then we'll kind of kick it over to Dre, and we'll get out of here. I think what's going to have to happen, I mean, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what you said, Ted, I think that
Yeah, I don't believe that most men want to be players. I believe, you know, do a lot of men want to possibly have sex with a number of different guys? I'm sure there are men out there that do that. But by and large, I don't believe that most of our men want to be players. That said, and this kind of sounds like almost an oxymoron, I also don't believe that most men want to necessarily be married, too. Let me explain what that is.
Right.
70% of women file for divorce, which basically means, and if you know anything about the numbers, you know that typically in most marriages, when they get a divorce, the husband's finances are completely wiped out. He's basically paying for her lawyer's fees. He's still paying the mortgage at his home. He's paying for whatever children that they have. Now, in addition to that, he actually has to go get his own place to live. He has to still function and do the things that he, you know, pay his everyday bills that he would have to take care of. So 70% of women file for divorce. Why do they do that? If it was not a benefit to them, more than likely they would not. So what is going to have to happen is there's going to have to be a somewhat of a gutting of the way that divorce courts are ran, because men are not seeing it as a worthy risk anymore. Again, like I said, whether you make $500,000 a year or whether you make $60,000 a year, men don't see it as a risk. They see it as a risk. They don't see the benefit of it. They see that the courts are slanted in child support. The courts are slanted in divorce court. So for men, they're saying, where's the benefit? If this woman can wake up, and we've had a conversation about this before, Ted, if a woman can wake up one day and just decide, I do not want to be married, don't even matter the reason.
Right.
I just don't want to be married. And she can go down divorce court file and all of a sudden sends you into a tailspin that you might not ever recover from. Where's the benefit? So to the women, I say, if you want to see more men appreciate and want to be in a marital situation, do what is necessary. This is my opinion. Do what is necessary. Go to the court systems and start to kind of roll back these laws that essentially put the control the lion's share of the control to women. I don't see it happening because, of course, I don't think the women are going to relinquish control, and ergo, there are not going to be that many women to get married. So it's kind of a situation where we're going in circles.
No, Blair, maybe not. Forget the court systems, because marriage is a contractual arrangement. So all you have to do is have an addendum to the contract and sign, when you're in a great state of mind, sign some sort of prenuptial agreement. In the event this doesn't work out, here's how we're going to part ways. And a lot of women say, well, if you love me, you wouldn't ask me to sign it. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't. If you love me, you wouldn't ask me to marry you, because you're asking me to enter into a contract with you. And I need some sort of contract that in the case we exit this, that we can exit amicably and rationally. So I think instead of the courts, I think people can do that on their own. If women really want to be married with the guy, say, I'm willing to do this so that we part our ways and you don't get raped financially.
And the thing is, that's a very unsexy conversation to have. I get it. It's not a feel good conversation when you say, hey, if me and you don't work out, you go your way, I go mine, and everything is everything. Here, sign this. It's not a sexy conversation to have. So I understand where it kind of comes off as like, oh, you trying to bounce after years? No, I'm not necessarily saying that. That's not the point here. What it's basically saying is, if I screw up or if you screw up, everybody will get, you know, there'll be a level of parity there. And so, like
exactly.
You said, I mean, maybe it'll happen, maybe it don't. I wouldn't hedge my bets against it, though. I don't think it's going to happen. So,
Blair, it forces people to talk about things if you do go down that path.
I agree with that. But again, Ted, you know, when the way that the majority, not all, but the majority of women view weddings and marriages is in more of a Disney world. They don't look at the idea of saying, hey, let's talk about the business aspect of this. Let's talk about all the what ifs that could happen, because they're usually so in love with that individual and they're in love with the idea and concept of getting married that the
person
that
you
say, hey, hold on a moment. Let's talk prenup. All of a sudden, you hear the brakes slam on and the needle come off the record.
But that's not a sexy
thing to talk about.
But see, marriage is a contract. It's a contractual agreement. So if the woman really loves the guy, she won't ask him to sign a contract called marriage. If she does, then they actually should do it correctly.
Tina Turner said, "What's love got to do with it, Ted?"
Do it correctly. Have an agreement on how your marriage is going to work. And if it doesn't, that would be way – and it doesn't matter who has more money or who has more earning potential. It can address more than money.
Sounds good. Sounds real good. Whether or not it can be applicable to, you know, marriages in our community, I don't know, man. But you know, sounds good. Dre, talk to me. Give us some parting words.
On both of those topics, I received a message on Facebook from a woman who wants to have her two cents in this.
I shouldn't say two cents. If we can get her in real quick.
516.
Oh, okay.
Two women.
Let me see. 516. Okay, I'll get her. You want to get her in real quick?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You don't have to.
All right. Yeah. 516. You're live on the air.
Hello.
516. You were live and on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes. Hi. What's up? Gabrielle and Shelley. And you guys said so many things that we just couldn't pull our hair out. But I'll speak to one. I know this is a man's show, and so it's leaning that way. But one of the things I heard was women would not get divorced if there wasn't something in it for them. Couldn't they just be fed up? What?
One of y'all. I was gonna say something, but you go ahead and take it.
Hello?
Who's gonna take it?
All right, go ahead. Yeah. Yes, they could be fed up. And they also could most people. So Lynette, or Gabrielle, what was your major in school and college?
Business and marketing.
All right. If I hired you to be a CPA, how well would you do?
Not well at all. What?
Okay, good. So I'm saying that to say you don't have the training in that. And most people don't have the training to even be in a relationship. So a lot of times people are fed up and can't see how they are actually sabotaging the relationship. Now, I'm not saying that anyone is innocent, but in 1968, they passed the no-fault divorce law, and that is when the divorces went sky high. It just kept running up. So now no one has responsibility and no fault, and people don't really know how to make things work when it's not going their way. They've done all kinds of research and following divorce people. People who get a first divorce are 61% more likely to get a second, and then 76% of them are more likely to get a third divorce. And the whatever problem they had in the first marriage follows them. So people, this is why I was saying cooperation. I really don't care about submission. Do you have the skills to cooperate? What happens when things don't go your way? And I know a lot of women say men don't communicate, they don't listen, and a lot of women will, like, I'm just fed up, and so, hey, sometimes you have to be quiet and listen, and that's not so
much. I'm not debating that, Ted. My only issue is when you said women get divorced because there's something in it for them.
They would not
get divorced if there wasn't something in it for them. How about being peace of mind? How about, you know what I'm saying? That's not.
Wait, Dre, let her finish. Let her finish, because I want to say something to her after she's done.
Right.
Go ahead.
Exactly.
I just want to deal with that one statement. So go ahead.
So Blair, see this is what I was getting at. Listen, Lynette, when we say peace of mind, this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes people don't have the best coping skills. Just like you're not qualified to be a CPA, people don't learn how to actually be in a relationship. And people often get upset over things. Most of what people get upset or worry about, it's something that's not even happening. They're saying, well, it could have gone this way, or what if, like, people don't actually deal with what's being said. And they often write a whole story in their head, and now they're angry over something that could have happened but didn't happen and never would have happened. So people don't always have the coping skills, and they're upset and don't understand that this is a pattern that just happens in their life, and they're pointing the finger at someone else. And people are just – I'm ultimately saying people really don't have the qualifications to even be in a relationship.
I get that people don't know how to resolve issues, people, both sides, men and women. I get that. But please, don't let it be said that women – most women get divorced because they're getting something out of it.
Okay, so tell me
why
you're upset about that. Tell me exactly
it makes it seem as if women are purely opportunistic, and that's not necessarily the point.
Absolutely, they are.
I think that may be one person's opinion. There are many women that are highly educated.
This is Shelley.
So there are many women in their own right who have their own, who don't really rely on men or their funds at all. We have our own, and we've made a way, and we've blazed trails, and we're more than equipped to handle and take care of ourselves. Now, what happens in a divorce is something called equitable distribution. Both people bring things to marriages, and if you do not have a prenuptial agreement, then you're going to have to divvy these things up if you decide that you're going to go your separate ways. And one person may have brought more than the other. Maybe one person did more than the other. You know, there are women who did not have a job while other men went out and they bought home, but they kept the house. Let me just finish my thought. They kept the house, they kept the man, they kept the finances, they kept the kids. They did everything wrapped twice around and tied a bow in it. And so each person brought to the table what they did best. Now, when it's time to go, it's not to say that one worked harder or better than the other. This is ending, and then you do your best with either yourselves or with the law to end it as equitable in that distribution as possible. It's not because we're getting something out of it. I'm not saying that there aren't some women that may have that idea, but please don't label it as all women. That's not what women do. I know it's definitely not what I and many of my friends, I don't know any that's that descriptive.
Ted, may I please?
Sure, because I really want to know why 70% of divorces are initiated by women. That's what I don't understand.
Ted, let me dive in here for a second.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
This is Lynette or Gabrielle? I'm sorry.
Lynette is fine. Lynette and Shelley.
Lynette. All right. I'm sorry. I don't know where I got Gabrielle. Okay. Sorry. So Lynette and Shelley.
Shut up, Ted.
what was that?
She told me to shut up. See, they don't want to communicate. This is it.
You better say it with your chest, Ted. Don't be scared, man. No. So, what I will say to you is this, and I understand, and thank you for your comment. Thank you for calling in to the both of you. What I will just really say is this. That sounds logical on its own merit, but it really isn't backed up by any sort of quantifiable data. Here's data, and I allowed you to give your thing, so let me have mine for a minute. 70% of divorces are filed by women. If you look at the situations as a rule, here we talk about the rule, not the exception. As a rule, most men suffer in divorce. Suffer. The women, the courts, they're just geared towards women. Child support geared towards women. It's one of the reasons why, if you look at men, when you say, hey, when you talk about men getting married, men are like, oh, no. They're kicking and screaming. You go to a wedding, you see a woman, the women throw the bouquet, they're like, oh, my God, they're running for it, killing me, walking up each other's back. Men, let that flower drop right on the ground. It is not something that a lot of men want to get involved with. Why? Because they see how everything about their whole existence has been wiped out after a divorce. Most people, when they use the, like you said, the me and the people I know, you're talking about 0.00001% of this country. So I understand that you and maybe 20 of your friends may not have experienced that, but that's not the lion's share of how divorce works. The numbers don't lie. So, as I said, I mean, the numbers don't lie. The fact that men don't want to be married is there's no other way around it. Women, marriage benefits women. It benefits women. It's not to say that marriage does not benefit men,
but it benefits women. I'm sorry.
I allowed you to speak. Please let me finish. Lynette.
I'm silent.
It was actually Shelley.
Thank you. Okay. So it's a situation where men are seeing it as more and more of a trap. The numbers aren't lying, ladies. I promise you they're not. And this is why men get so distraught and frustrated, because they're like, how can we get them to see that men don't see it as a come up? They just don't. They see, yes, are there circumstances where men see it and it works out wonderfully? Absolutely there are. But by and large, it doesn't happen that way. So now if you want to say something, ma'am, or if you want to say something, Ted, go right ahead.
Yes, please. Thank you. Now, I'm more than willing to listen to the statistics, only because I don't have any right now, and I have to compare that data to some of my own. I'm just really responding to the commentary versus, looking to see what data I come up with. So I guess it's relative to where you got your statistics from. But what I do take offense to is it sounds very obtuse that this is only something that benefits women. I will say and share my own experiences. I had been married, and I was divorced. I was the financier in that particular marriage. I'm the one that sustained the loss. I'm the one that almost had to pay alimony because the person that I was married to was opportunistic, and I'm the one that did not veer off in that situation, which is unfortunate. But I'm the one with the investments. I'm the one that had all of those financial, holdings. So it happened to me. I mean, but I know that I'm not alone. I don't have the statistics to tell you how many other women have been there. So, no, it is not only something that benefits women. You're looking at it as only a man supporting a woman financially. And today, maybe in the past years, it might have been a larger amount of women who got married just based on finances. But today, women are very proud of their accomplishments and their contributions. Actually, we're not a force to be reckoned with. We're in the workplace. We're competing for all kinds of different levels, in corporate America. And we're coming to the table as equal partners. So maybe men need to be equally yoked with the women they're selecting, and then maybe they would have a better outcome both financially and emotionally if they can get on the same plane with the female that they're bringing into their lives. And maybe they can have a clearer understanding going into a union or a marriage or a partnership or whatever it is that they decide to do with mutual respect and a clear understanding of expectations.
Okay. I'll ask you this one question, and then we're going to end the show. We're going to
She likes the idea of a prenuptial agreement.
Absolutely, everybody should have one.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, and maybe you may know this, maybe you don't, but I do. how many women pay alimony or any sort of monies to a man after divorce? Give me a figure.
I don't know. I would definitely have to check out those statistics on my own. I cannot, you know, challenge yours. Right. I can't challenge yours, you know, because I don't have any to. I could, again, I'm just, you know, responding to the commentary.
Right. So I will tell you this, and it's probably one of the reasons why a lot of people don't have conversations with me, because I know a lot of statistics. The number is 4%. 4% of men get alimony from women after a marriage. 4%. Nowhere near any sort of staggering number. That's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. So the idea
I would like
that men
know what
kind
year
of after women
that?
Or whatever.
I would like to know what year.
I would have to look it up, but I believe it's Pew Research 20. That's 2016. Absolutely it is. Yes. So my thoughts to you and everything. And again, thank you for calling in. We got to kind of come to the close of the show. But, you know, if you want to call in to further, you know, upcoming shows, you know, feel more than free. You know, as I tell women all the time, we will talk, and as long as it's logical and respectful, we will have any conversation that you want to. So thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome. Dre, are you still on the line with us?
Yeah, man. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, man. What I got to say is what I would want to, you know, piggyback on is, you know, the show's over with. This needs to be a part two, because it's so much I can elaborate on, you know what I'm saying? So I know the time is of an essence, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot, bro.
Absolutely.
It's a lot that can, that, you know, with the young lady who just, both of them who just got, they, I can open up their, you know, imagination and thoughts about me.
Right.
Like, they don't even understand,
right.
Like,
hey,
the guy.
Hey, Dre, let me just say this. We got like 2 minutes to wrap up the show, so. Just real quick, I'm sorry to have to cut you off. Tell people where they can find you and what you're doing in the next 15 seconds, please.
My social media Instagram is Dre, Drethe, _ Giant. Facebook, because my mom follows me, is Andre P. Cobb on Facebook, and Dre the Giant panel discussion on Facebook as well. I'm just Dre the Giant, man.
I appreciate it, brother. I greatly appreciate it. Tay, we got like 60 seconds to wrap up. Do you have any final thoughts you want to put out there?
No. I'll just say the upset, and I'm sure, Lynette, you're still listening. And so the approach sometimes of being upset is counterproductive. And I know, ladies, sometimes you all can be more emotional than men. And this is what I was getting at in coping skills. It's essential,
right,
if you're going to have things work.
Okay, cool. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. To my brothers and sisters both, we love you much. This has been another episode of Straight Talk. Tune in next week where we'll have another riveting show. And thank you for all the callers. Thank you to Dre the Giant out of Maryville, Indiana. Hope everyone has an awesome week, and we both love you much. Have a good one.
Have a great day, everyone. Take care. Look for you next week.